Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls and Josh Giddey's contract situation seems like it's getting closer and closer to reaching a place that I was hoping they were going to be able to avoid. The question that everybody's asking now is Josh Giddey really closer to taking the qualifying offer? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to talk about the decisions that are left for the Chicago Bulls and takeaways from the summer league. And then lastly, how the Chicago Bulls can benefit from Dame Lillard going back to Portland. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So yesterday was an update that was kind of contradictory to what we had been hearing for Josh Giddey when Jake Fisher came out with his Substack, him and Mark Stein. And they mentioned on that the Bulls and Josh Giddey are roughly about $10 million apart on a deal. And that's per year. Keep that in mind. With it being, you know, the Bulls reportedly are on their offer of closer to $20 million. Josh Giddey wants $30 million per. That means that you are at almost $10 million a year difference, which is quite a considerable gap. That's not a small gap, right? I think for me personally, I had thought about it as if the gap between the team and Giddey wasn't maybe a huge gap. They were kind of going over a couple of million, but now no, it's that's a substantial amount of money, especially when you're talking about per. And so now the Bulls sitting in a place, and Josh Giddey sits in a place where they got to hope that in their negotiations that you're going to be able to reach a middle ground. Now, this could completely be a negotiation tactic, right? Is that you start low, the other side starts high, you meet somewhere in the middle. And that's because you know what the other side is looking for, you know what the market value is, and then you're trying to negotiate a contract, right? So, you know, hopefully, I'm hoping that this is just negotiation that's going on. It's nothing. But what if? What if the Bulls truly are lowballing Josh Giddey on an offer? And yes, Josh Giddey is worth over $20 million per year. There's just no question about that. People who have that question, it's a bias, or you're just not aware at how NBA salaries are going now, right? But if that's truly it, could Josh Giddey really take the qualifying offer? I had previously been in the stance that it was very unlikely for Josh Giddey to take the qualifying offer just because, what have I told you guys? It's so many more ways that taking the qualifying offer could end up hurting at you in the long run rather than taking the money that's guaranteed to you now. But I do think you get closer and closer to that happening the longer that this goes on. And that's just something that you have to consider in all of this. And so the Josh Giddey situation with this contract, I think, is just going to ultimately be at who's willing to give up more, and who's willing to acquiesce. And in good negotiations, both sides do a little bit of that. Make no doubt about it. You want both sides to be a little bit uncomfortable with the deal that's made, meaning that they both feel like, hey, we gave up a little bit too much or something in that deal. That's what you want in a good negotiation tactic. But it seems like, and as we keep hearing now with Josh Giddey, and even with him and his camp being firm on the $30 million contract evaluation, that you know it does not seem like this is a negotiation that maybe is going as smooth as either side talk. Like, we did hear from Casey Johnson earlier in the week that both sides want to get a deal done and that, you know, it's more than widely expected that Josh Giddey's going to be back in Chicago. But I tell you what, one of the things in the article that Jake Fisher talked about was the fact that This is starting to feel like the Lauri Markkanen contract negotiation situation. And we all know how that went, right? So it just, every day that goes by, it either raises more questions. Now, if you were making progress, every day that goes by could end up being better for you in the long run. But it seems like that's not what's happening here with the Bulls. It seems like this is a situation that's getting more and more tense as every day goes by. Then the Bulls have to make a decision, right? And no, Yuki Kawamura is not going to be Josh Giddey's replacement. Like, sometimes, like, I get it that the job that I accepted in doing this means that you got to be some rumor debunking, but some of y'all say some stupid stuff, right? Just dumb stuff. So no, Yuki Kawamura is not going to get the main contract if Josh Giddey's not re-signed. No, like, stop it with the foolishness, right? But it does mean, though, that this is a Chicago Bulls team that really has to ask itself and take a hard look at what are they wanting out of this? What are they doing? Now, I do think that there's an option to make it an incentive-laden contract, which I do think kind of makes sense for both sides, especially if you have a gap there that's significant. Is breach that gap by saying, bet, listen, this is the value that we have at. This is where you want to be at. We can get you there. But these incentives have to be made over the life of this contract to get you there. And you get there, cool, great. We have no problem paying you that. But if you don't, we want a little bit of insurances our side to maintain some flexibility. And that could be it. And I think that as this thing goes on, too, the year's number is going to come down. If you are $10 million apart per year, even if you do somehow get it down to where you're $5 million a year apart per year, to me, that just signifies that that Josh Giddey's probably going to take a shorter contract, meaning 2+1, outright three-year contract. That means that he'll be back in the free agent market by 25 years old, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, like, especially if he's wanting to bet on himself. That puts you back in there while you're in your prime. You can sign a contract at that point for 5 years. That puts you to your age 30 season. So it's those type of options that exist for Josh Giddey out there. And the Bulls, they just got to be willing to negotiate and both give up a little something to get there. And that's going to be the fun part to watch in this, is that now with all of this that's come out about the contract, when the final number is announced or the final deal is announced or whatever ends up happening is announced, it's going to be interesting to see what that number is. And we'll just watch it and monitor it and see how it goes. Now, also that, you know, we heard, you know, other things in regards to like Jake L. Fisher with Jonathan Kuminga and stuff like that. And, you know, I've already commented on that. If you're still holding out hope that Jonathan Kuminga is coming to the Chicago Bulls, you might as well stop it. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the thing. Seems like the Suns may actually be the team that's kind of moved more so in the pole position to try to land Jonathan Kuminga. And, you know, it seems like the Bulls have moved on, which is something that I said before when the Bulls drafted Noah Essengay and then traded for Isaac Okoro. Unless another big move is coming down the pipeline, it was unlikely that that move was going to happen. It just was unlikely that it was going to happen. And, you know, it sometimes comes down to simple to at the scheme fit. And, you know, that's just what it is. So, but we shall see now, man. I mean, if the Bulls and Josh Giddey for some reason can't reach a new deal and they end up pivoting to look for a trade partner or something like that. Again, this is just me talking. This is not me reporting. But if this does get to a point where the Bulls and Josh Giddey realize we're not going to reach a deal that both sides feel comfortable with, let's start looking at other places we can go. Let's start looking at signing trades rather than offer sheets so that we can open up the options of the teams that he can go to. And I want everybody to realize, like, the qualifying offer or another team become more and more likely as this goes on. And I wonder if the Bulls are really ready for that, right? Because wanting to play the market against a player is one thing, but then actually opening it up and once a player is like, nah, listen, let's start seeking out some trades, some actual trades here. That is a tough hill to overcome as far as if you're going to try to rebrand a relationship. And so we shall see what's going to happen here, man. For a contract negotiation that initially many people thought was going to be pretty straightforward with Josh getting the Chicago Bulls, this thing has gone on. Now, the one thing as well is the fact that every restricted free agent is the same thing. It's doing the same thing basically right now. It's much like in the NFL where you saw a lot of the second round picks not sign their deals because they just wanted more guaranteed money. And then once that started happening, a lot of the second round picks started signing with their team. So maybe it's going to be something like that. Maybe it's just going to take one restricted free agent to get their deal done. And then at that point, we're going to see a string of deals go on. But I tell you, Every day that goes by, I keep telling you guys, other options become more and more and more likely, and we shall see what's going to happen with Josh Giddey. $10 million apart is huge. That is big time money in being a part. And hey, we'll see. But again, for the people that are damning the Bulls, when you talk about using the market, that's what's going to happen. The Bulls are using the market against Josh Giddey right now, and teams that have the cap space or have the interest in Josh Giddey or whatever else, they are playing that right now. We've complained about him not negotiating. For example, they didn't play hardball with Patrick Williams. So yeah, it does suck that they're playing hardball now with Josh Giddey, apparently. But I guess the Bulls have something that they have something in mind with the money. The question now becomes, who is going to budge? I have no idea. And we still don't know if that meeting between the Bulls front office and Josh Giddey has happened yet. And once we find out that, we'll have a little bit more that we can go off on. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. With that said, let's move on, right? The Bulls play their last summer league game today. And there's already been some pretty decent takeaways from summer league. And with Noah Essengay, Modest Muzelis unexpected to play in the final summer league game, I want to talk about some of the things that we could take away from the summer league so far. And one of the biggest things is the two-way roster spots. I think those are going to be open. When you look at it right now, the Bulls' two-way roster spots are Emmanuel Miller, Jameer Young, and Lachlan Albrecht. And Lachlan, I think, is good. He's a lock to retain.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Spot, Lachlan is a lock to retain the spot, because I don't think Lachlan has done anything that would necessitate him not needing to be on a two-way contract. I that's just my personal opinion. I think Lachlan Albrecht has played really well for the Chicago Bulls team over the course of preseason based off what he's been asked to do, especially when he has point guards out there. So that's one of the biggest things right there, right? Is that out of the two-way roster spots, Emmanuel Miller, Jameer Young, Lachlan Albrecht, I think, has done enough to retain the spot. Jameer Young, who I actually talked about, had not played very well throughout summer league to start. He dropped 40 points, a Bulls summer league record against the Milwaukee Bucks. And so now maybe the question is more about Emmanuel Miller, right? And that's the thing that you have to. I think Yuki Kawamura has been consistent in what he's been, right? Now, Kawamura, when you look at it as well, the backcourt in this, like with the Bulls' backcourt being pretty deep, there's really no chance that Yuki Kawamura is going to be making the Chicago Bulls' main roster playing. The guard rotation is just too deep. But when you look at trying to simulate a style of play that you're going to have with the main Chicago Bulls, Yuki Kawamura can do that, and he can help develop players like Lachlan Albrecht, even Noah Essengay when he's down there. So I do think that, hey, listen, Emmanuel Miller, if he's going to want to hold on to that two-way contract, he's going to have a big game today as well as big training camp, because I think all these guys are going to be in training camp. But Yuki Kawamura, his playmaking ability, all that, I do think that Yuki has made a big case and a strong case for himself to be that final two-way contract, but we'll see what's going to happen. Another takeaway from summer league so far is that Modest Muzelis seems like he's ready to make a leap this year. Now, the question is how much of a long leash is he going to be given? And that's something that we won't really know until we are in the midst of the season and seeing how the season goes. But I think that what Modest Muzelis showed through two preseason games, 22.5 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. I think also that the confidence that he's played with as well. Modest Muzelis, who we already kind of known, is taking the rookies under his wing, taking more of a leadership role. Modest Muzelis seems ready. And there are some questions after that first preseason game, but I think he's just playing. The game has already slowed down some for him. It's going to continue to slow down a little bit more for him, but you're really starting to see that. Taking shots with no hesitation, catching and shoot looks he was doing as well. You know, some point forward things, but then when Yuki Kawamura was there, he didn't have to. He attacked the rim really well. 21 free throw attempts across two games. That's something that could be really good for Modest Muzelis at the next level. And then you look at Noah Essengay. The takeaway that I have for Noah Essengay, to me, is that I think he's more ready than I initially thought to contribute to the NBA. Now, I'm not saying that he's ready to start. I'm not saying he's ready to play 20, 25 minutes. But when I saw Noah Essanay's tape, to me, the thing that stood out the most is that he's raw. He's a very raw player. But I think in Summer League, and again, Summer League competition is a way different level of competition, but I do think that he showed that, hey, he adjusted from first game disappointment to the second game to the third game. You saw him get progressively more aggressive and understand how he can help a team, right? And I've said it on yesterday's episode. I think what I've seen from Lachlan is, I mean, not Lachlan, what I've seen from Modest is the player that can help the Bulls in some areas, and that could get him on the court. Defensively, a lob threat, shot blocking ability, the ability to get out and run in transition. These are all things that he can absolutely benefit from for the Chicago Bulls, right? We'll see. And since the rough debut for him, he's averaging 16.5 points, 6.5 boards as well over that time. You know, it's unexpected that he's going to play on Friday, but we shall see. It was unexpected he was going to play in the third game. Then he ended up missing the fourth game. So we'll see what happens with that one. But I think that Noah Essanay has given the Bulls a lot to think about, a lot to kind of look at. And then as you go into training camp and stuff, you want to see what he's going to bring at that training camp. But to me, the biggest takeaway from Noah Essanay is that he is more ready than I was expecting. And I think that bodes really well for him and really well for the Bulls draft selection of Noah Essanay personally. So that's my thought. Then also, I think one thing that we're looking at with the Chicago Bulls, another takeaway that could be possibly taken from Summer League right now is that, hey, the Bulls, and I've said this in an episode before, they've picked a direction now. I think that they've picked their direction, and now we got to see them how they're going to execute that direction. But I think even when you look at the style of play from Lachlan Albrecht, Modest and Noah, Yuki Kawamura being there, like, you're starting to see players right now that the Bulls are going to double down on offense, that the Bulls are going to play a high offensive firepower with having a few defenders, right? You look at Ayo Dosunmu, Noah Essanay, Isaac Okoro, Patrick Williams, probably being the best defenders that we have on this roster. The Bulls are going to play a more up-tempo, fast-paced, modern-style offense. The question is how good are you going to be able to be in executing that, and are you going to be able to have enough defense to be able to get to where you need to get to with that? But overall, like, I think that this offseason as a whole really has shown that the Bulls have a direction. Now, I will say this. If you don't re-sign Josh Giddey, some of that confidence in that direction takes a little bit of a hit. And you got to make your peace with that. But that's up to the Bulls to figure out. I mean, at this point, between the Josh Giddey thing, between, you know, other things going on with this roster, we shall see what's going to happen and what type of makeup this team is going to be about. But I do think a style of play that they figured out, that they want to play fast. They want to get up threes. They want to get out in transition. They want to be one of the best, most well-conditioned teams in the league. I think other than that, man, this is a Bulls team that is still on the path of development and figuring it out. We just got to see what's going to happen there. But you guys can let me know how you feel about all of that down below. Last topic of the day, Damian Lillard re-signed with the Portland Trailblazers on a 3-year deal that was kind of unexpected, right? We had heard that Boston was interested, among other teams interested in Dame, and Dame ends up prioritizing his family, prioritizing his peace and familiarity with going back to Portland. Now, how does that affect the Chicago Bulls, one may ask? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Because the Bulls have Portland's first-round pick, it's lottery-protected up until 2028, there are two specific ways that the Bulls now can get this pick more likely, right? We already knew that the Trailblazers were a team that were aiming to try to gear for the playoffs. They've said it, their GM said it, their head coach has said it, that they are a team that feels like they're trying to compete now, meaning that they are not tank in tank mode, right? But getting Dame Lillard back, even though he's not going to play in 25-26, he comes back in 26-27, that includes the chances that the Blazers actually compete for a playoff spot. That's one way, right? The most clear way is that Dame, with what they have now, as far as building a more younger core, they're in Portland full of young, tough players that are coached well by Chauncey Billups. I think Chauncey Billups is a lot better coach than people give him credit for, but they'll see that sooner rather than later. So, of course, that's the most basic way that it impacts the Chicago Bulls. But then there's another way that it impacts the Chicago Bulls as well. It's, keep in mind, because the Bulls pick and their protection on this pick can come anytime between now and 2028, it has meant that the Portland Trailblazers have not been able, their first round picks have been frozen. They can't trade any first round pick because it basically is a pick that could convey to the Chicago Bulls. So I want to say this. There may be even a chance that the Bulls can get it, even if they're not a playoff team. And the reason why is that once Dame is back healthy, right, which like this year is going to be a year that the Portland Trail Blazers could be looking to see, all right, which one of these young players step up, much like the Chicago Bulls. And if this Portland Trail Blazers team looks like a team that could nearly make the play-in, you could very well see the Trail Blazers want to be a team that then makes a move to even solidify the roster more, leading into Dame making his return in 26-27. And if they want to do that, that would mean that they would have to talk to the Chicago Bulls, and they would have to say, hey, let's guarantee this pick in X year for you. That way we have some now freedom in moving off this pick. So they can say, listen, we're just going to give you the pick in 2027. We're going to guarantee it. Whether we make the playoffs or not, that's your pick now. And then that frees them up to trade their other first round picks and not be locked in as much with it. I think that's what you're looking at for this Chicago Bulls team, and how Dame could really help the Bulls end up getting that pick back sooner rather than later. So there's two different ways in which that can happen. And we'll see. Nothing's guaranteed. The Trailblazers very well could just say, listen, we're just going to play. We're going to see what's going to happen. And whatever happens, happens with our picks. And that's what they could do too. Dame also could not be nearly who Dame was before he went down. And thus they could, not be good either. So I'm not saying either one of these things is a guarantee. I'm more so talking about it in the sense that these are now the possibilities. They kind of opened up a little bit more now that Dame is back in Portland. We got to see if it's going to play out and work for the Chicago Bulls. It could very well. It could not work out in our favor. We'll see what ends up happening in that one. I can't wait to see it because, hey, the Bulls need a little bit of luck. It'll be nice for once in Chicago Bulls history to get a little damn lucky. Wouldn't it be nice to get a little lucky from time to time? I'd like to get lucky. So we'll see what happens with the Chicago Bulls. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.